Mr. President, Andrea said, coming up to Ryan just as the plenary session of the NATO chiefs was about to begin. She handed over the secure portable phone. It's Secretary Adler. Scott, Jack here. What gives? It's a done deal, Jack. Okay. Now I have to sell it to these guys. Good job, Scott. Hurry back. It took all day, lengthening what was supposed to have been a pro forma meeting of the NATO chiefs into a minor marathon, but there was a head nod and handshake agreement, and the diplomatic technicians were sent off to prepare the documents. All this was accomplished behind closed doors, and so the media learned of it like a thunderbolt from a clear sky. Bondarenko's official residence at Chibarsoville was a very comfortable one, befitting a four-star resident and his family. He had a large personal staff. That included a particularly skilled cook and communications people. It was one of the latter who knocked on his bedroom door at 3 in the morning. Yes, what is it? An urgent communication for you, Comrade General. He opened the door. Da, spasiba, the general replied, taking it and walking back toward his bed. My God, Sink Far East breathed to himself. It is believed that there is an imminent danger of war between Russia and the People's Republic of China. The Chinese objective will be to seize the newly discovered gold and oil deposits in eastern Siberia by rapid mechanized assault north from their border west of Khabarovsk. The leading elements will include the 34th Shock Army, a Type A group army. Far East Command is directed to make all preparations to meet and repel such an attack. With what? The general asked. With what, comrades? Al Gregory was working late. At the moment, he was aboard USS Gettysburg, an Aegis-class cruiser. Gregory was in the ship's CIC, or Combat Information Center, the compartment from which the captain fought the ship. You know, Gregory observed to the senior chief who maintained the systems, an old iMac has a ton more power than this. Doc, this system is the flower of 1975 technology, Chief Leek protested. And it ain't all that hard to track a missile, is it? Besides, Dr. Gregory, Chief Matson put in, that radar of mine is still the best fucking system ever put to sea. That's a fact, Gregory had to agree. So, when you want to track an RV, what do? We call it inserting the chip, the senior chief answered. What? It's hardware? Al asked. No, sir, it's software. We upload a different control program. Why do you need a second program for that? Can't your regular one track airplanes and missiles? The TRW vice president demanded. Sir, I just maintain and operate the bitch. I don't design the things. I want to see if your system can be used to stop a ballistic inbound. How fast? Matson asked. A four-wheel ICBM. Call it 7,600 meters per second. That's real fast, Leek observed. 7-8 times the speed of a rifle bullet. This radar system will track it just fine. Question is, can your SAMs react fast enough to get a hit? Software fixing the seeker head, right? Correct. I've rewritten the code. I reprogrammed the way the laser mutates. Ought to work okay if the infrared homing system works as advertised. At least it did in the computer simulations up in Washington. This is serious? Colonel Aliyev asked. It was a stupid question, and he knew it, but it just had to come out anyway. We have orders to treat it that way, Colonel, Bondarenko replied. What do we have to stop them? The 265th Motor Rifle Division is at roughly 50% combat efficiency, the theater operations officer replied. Beyond that, 2 tank regiments at 40% or so. Our reserve formations are mostly theoretical. Our air assets? 1 regiment of fighter interceptors ready for operations, another 3 who don't even have half their aircraft fit to fly. Bondarenko nodded. It was better than it had been upon his arrival, but that wouldn't impress the Chinese very much. Opposition? Far East's intelligence officer was another colonel, Pavel Ivanich Zhdanov. Our Chinese neighbors are in good military shape, Comrade General. The nearest enemy formation is 34th Shock Army, a Type A group army commanded by General Peng Shiwang. That one formation has triple or more our mechanized assets and Chinese aircraft. Well, their tactical aircraft number over 2,000. Comrades, we do not have anything like the assets we need to stop them. So, we will use space to our advantage, the general proposed. We will fight a holding action and await reinforcements from the west. If they cross the border, we will give them land, but we will not give them blood. The Chinese have a long way to go to their objectives. We will let them go a lot of that way, and we will bide our time and husband our men and equipment. We will make them pay for what they take, but we will not give them the chance to catch our forces in decisive battle. What of the border guards? Aliyev asked. They will hurt the Chinese, and then they will pull out. We are authorized to call up reserves. Let us start doing that. We have hectares of equipment for them to use. Unlock the gates and let them start drawing gear. President Grushevoy arrived in Warsaw with the usual pomp, accompanied, Ryan was glad to see, by Sergei Nikolaevich Golovko. In the president's hand was a fax from Washington outlining what the Chinese had in the way of war assets to turn loose on their northern neighbors. America didn't have much with which to help the Russians. The world's foremost navy was of little direct use in a land war. The United States Army had a division and a half of heavy troops in Europe, but that was thousands of miles from the expected scene of action. The Air Force had all the mobility it needed to project force anywhere on the globe, but airplanes could not by themselves defeat an army. No, this would be largely a Russian show, and the Russian army, the fact said, was in terrible shape. Great, Ryan breathed to Scott Adler. He stood and got his coat. Well, let's go watch our new allies sign up, shall we? 10 minutes later, they were in the reception room of the Lazhensky Palace. Ivan Emetovich, Golovko said as he approached the American president. Sergei Nikolaevich. What will Beijing think of this? Will this work? I was going to ask you that. You're closer to them than we are. I do not know, the Russian said. And if it does not, in that case, you have some new allies. And what of the precise wording of Articles 5 and 6 of the treaty? Sergei, you may tell your president that the United States will regard an attack on any part of the territory of the Russian Federation as operative under the North Atlantic Treaty. Jack, if I may address you in this way, I have told my president more than once that you are a man of honor and a man of your word. The relief on his face was obvious. Sergei, it's simple, really. It's your land, and a nation like ours cannot just stand by and watch a robbery of this scale taking place. It's our job to remake the world into a peaceful place. There's been enough war. I fear there will be another. Then together, your country and mine will make it the very last. You Americans, always so madly optimistic. There's a reason for that. In my country, all things are possible. They will be in your country, too, if you just allow it. Embrace democracy, Sergei. Americans are not genetically different from the rest of the world. The only thing different between us and the rest of the world is our Constitution, but it has served us well.